Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. We bless the Lord today for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have felt. Won't you stand with me and turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews in your New Testament scripture. The book of Hebrews in your New Testament scripture. I want to read starting in chapter 11, verse number 1, very familiar passage of scripture. Say amen. We've located the text. We won't read all 40 verses, but I invite you to look at all 40 verses in your leisure time as you continue to reflect upon today's sermon. I want to start in verse number 1 and read the first 6 verses, which read as follows. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. I want that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, will be acceptable in your divine eyesight, and that all of our meditations in this sanctuary would be acceptable in your divine eyesight. For we believe, Lord, that you are our strength and are our Redeemer. We pray that minds would be illuminated. We pray that hearts would be encouraged. We pray that souls would be convicted. Lord, let one, if not more, come forward and ask, what must I do to be saved? Let the anointing of the Most High God fall fresh in this place. And may you break yokes and destroy bondage. In the name of Jesus Christ, set your captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church of Jesus Christ say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. God keep you is our prayer. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. During Black History Month, it is appropriate for us to walk down memory lane, to think about men and women who have committed their lives, devoted their lives to working for our liberty and freedom, for our civil justice and civil rights, and really for our human rights. And so when you think about men and women such as Shirley Chisholm and Fannie Lou Hamer and Medgar Evers and Martin Luther King and Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman, and the list goes on right up to today with Bonnie Watson Coleman and Barack Obama and so many others, we're reminded that our struggle for inclusion and liberty and freedom has not been an easy one, but it is one that has been peppered with example after example of men and women who walk by faith in the midst of overwhelming odds, and whose lives remind us that with God on your side, everything is possible. And so I come today at the conclusion of Black History Month, which really ought never to conclude, because every day and every week ought to be a time to celebrate what God has done in our lives. When I watched the movie Selma and I looked at this miniseries on TV One, the Book of Negroes, I'm reminded that our journey as a people of African descent has been littered with challenges, but God has given us example of his providential hand still thwarting the hand of the enemy and the evil one. And so our faith is what has got us this far. We sing the song, and it's really one of the national anthems of our African descended race. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, for he has never failed me yet. And so when we think about the words of that song, we must think about all of the examples that are written in history books and so many others that are not written in history books, but remind us that God is still on the throne. And so I'm led today both in a social and political, but also a very personal and very spiritual way to speak about this issue of faith. For we've come this far by faith, but what does faith mean, and how do we appropriate it and implement it and exercise it when we are in dire straits and in deep challenge in our socio-emotional, intellectual, and I would even dare say spiritual lives. Let me be very upfront today that my heart is still heavy after leaving the hospital and watching this young mother, Tracy Lumberger Wilson, for whom we prayed, and her husband, we prayed, and her family, we prayed heavy. Because as I watched Tracy go through her pain and suffering, I never forget when I was made aware that she was back in the hospital, I went up to visit with her, and she said to me very forthrightly, she said, "What would you do if you were me?" And I said, "Tracy, that question is so difficult because none of us understand what we would do until we found ourselves in the predicament." And as best I could, I encouraged her to hang on to the faith that I know she had inside of her. And she certainly said, "I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But I don't understand." And so it is, we come to moments in our faith walk that are intersection and crossroads of us trying to understand what God does, when God does it, and why God does it. And maybe we might grasp our mind of when God does it and how God does it, but we don't really, never really will understand why God does it. For the mind of God is so much greater than ours. For the word declares his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so too are the ways and the thoughts of God above man. And so in those moments, those intersections of our lives where our understanding crashes into our misunderstanding and our non-understanding, we've got to ask ourselves the question, "Father, how do I stand on my faith?" So it is, I'm reminded of this quintessential statement about faith that we find here in the book of Hebrews. And the Lord has led me to talk about these three words. One, the definition of faith. Two, the designation of those who are faithful. And the dispersion of those of us who find ourselves in moments where we don't understand. Our world has fallen apart. We are in the midst of challenge and travail. And God still somehow tells us to still have faith. And so we come today, beloved of God, on the end of Black History Month, the remembrance and the celebration forgotten of so many of our heroes and sheroes and heroines and all of those men and women that remind us of what it means to walk by faith. But even when they were in the midst of their challenge, some of them wondered where was God. So this definition of faith is powerful because in all of the biblical record, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, there are many statements about faith, but this, I think, is the quintessential definition of faith that we find written in the book of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It still is a mystery that befuddles and still challenges social or theologians as well as church historians. For if we look at the biblical record and look at the anatomy of the book of Hebrews and juxtapose it against other biblical writers, maybe, just maybe, we get a clue. Some folk think maybe Paul could have written it, but when you look at Paul's 13 letters, the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, the book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd, the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, the book 1st and 2nd Timothy, and all the book of Romans, and all the other books that the apostle Paul writes, the language, the style, the flow, the grammar of Koine Greek does not match what we find in the book of Hebrews. So, folks, check off Paul. He didn't write it. What about John, the disciple whom Jesus loves, who wrote the Gospel of St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation? When you line them up and juxtapose them against each other, it does not match the style, the grammar of John writing or Johannine authorship. When you look at Matthew, when you look at Mark, when you look at Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts, it does not match. So we're left concluding that we just don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. But what we do understand, that it was written and divinely inspired by God and given unto us as profitable for correction and instruction and for reproof. And so it is in the book of Hebrews that we get this quintessential example or statement of our faith. The writer writes in both Hebrews 11:1 and both and also Hebrews 11:6. He says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is this crashing of our senses, of things we can see and things we do see. The substance, that which we can feel, we can touch, we can even taste, we can even look at, the substance of things that are hoped for. When you think about the things we hope for, they are ephemeral. They have no form to it. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness, that for which we hope. We can't put our arms around it, but it is real because it is driving us. It is motivating us. It is pushing us. What do you hope for, beloved? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence, that which attorneys argue in courts of law. The evidence, I submit Exhibit A, I submit Exhibit B, I submit Exhibit C. Judge, I've submitted to you the evidence, the things that are tangible, the things that I submit to you. But the writer says, the evidence of things not seen. So now my senses are colliding, because if faith is substance, but it's something I hope for, and if it's evidence of stuff I don't see, then faith is this thing that I really can't put my hands on, but I know it when I have it, because when I have it, it drives me to be better than I am. It drives me to not give up where I am. It drives me to keep hiking up the rough side of the mountain. It drives me. My faith. I've come this far by faith. I can't see it, but I know something is there. I've come this far by faith. I know what the doctors say, but I'll reject what they say, because God's got the final answer. I've come this far by faith. The writer goes on to say in verse number 6, for without faith,
It is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is something that drives us to say, I'm going to keep pressing on towards the mark of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. And without that, I cannot please God. And here I get a challenge, and I certainly want to please God. But there are moments when the substance and the circumstances of my situation make it difficult for me to keep on to believing I can get out of this thing. But on the other hand, I want to please God. I want to please him. I want to worship him. I want to serve him. And with faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, that God is real, that God is there, that God is Jehovah Shammah, that God is Jehovah Jireh. You must believe that God is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's my righteousness. You must believe that God is Jehovah Shammah. He's right there when I need him to be. You must believe that God is Jehovah Yireh, that he sees my need. And because he sees my need, he will answer my need. You must believe that God is Jehovah Rapha. He can heal and turn my bitter water sweet. You must believe that God is Jehovah Rohi. He is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You must believe that God is. That God is real. That God has manifested God's self to you. That God has revealed himself to you. You must believe that God has shown you a little bit of who he is. Even if you're like Moses, God says, if I showed you everything, you couldn't handle it. But let me just show you my backside. And I don't know about you, but I take the backside of God any day. Just a glimpse of God's greatness is enough to keep me going. And I don't know, I'm reminded that every now and again, God will give me a glimpse of his greatness. Come on, somebody. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you didn't know how you got in it? You don't know how you're going to get out of it? You don't know how long you're going to be in it? But God said, let me show you a glimpse. Let me just help you a little bit. I have not given up on you. I am right there in the middle of your trial. Definition of faith. You must tie verse 1 and verse 6 together. For it's now faith. Not tomorrow faith. Not yesterday faith. Now faith. Today in the midst of your situation. Now faith is the substance, the evidence, the belief that God is. And that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The writer gives us some designations that I want us to take note of. If you look in the text, he goes, starting in verse number 7, he says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He says in verse number 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He goes on to say in verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. He goes on to say, by faith, verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the situations, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by faith. Verse 24, 24, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, all you have to do is look at the designation. And when you look at the designations in scripture, I just don't want you to see personalities of antiquity. I want you to see yourself in the situation. Because every now and again, God will give you a Moses experience. Every now and again, God will give you a Jacob experience. Every now and again, God will give you a Joseph experience. Anybody ever been thrown down in the well by your brothers and your sisters? Anybody ever been lied on, talked about, misused, and abused? Has anybody ever had folks stab you in the back? Has anybody ever had folks turn their back on you? Has your body ever been afflicted with sickness? Have you ever wondered how you're going to make ends meet? I just don't want you to see antiquity in the Bible. I want you to see yourself in the Bible. And if God did it for Jacob, he can do it for you. If God did it for Moses, he can do it for you. If God did it for Sarah, he can do it for you. If God did it for Esau, Ishmael, Deborah, Jephthah, God can do it for you. Does anybody have a testimony of how God picked you up, turned you around, put your feet on solid ground? What he's done for others, he will do it for you. All right, Pastor, I hear you. I hear you. You've defined faith. I got faith. You've given me examples of biblical characters whose stories and circumstances mirror mine. All right, I get it. If I hold on long enough, I'll get my breakthrough. If I trust him long enough, I'll get my deliverance. If I stand on his word long enough, he'll bring me out. I even hear you when you say, he may not always bring me out, but he'll do for me what he did for Daniel. He'll step into the lion's den and shut up your enemy's mouth. I hear you, Pastor. But what about those times when I prayed, and I prayed, and I trusted, and I fasted, and I believed, and I read, and I studied, and I laid prostrate, and God still didn't answer my prayer? What about those moments, Pastor, when I prayed for my wife to get off her sick bed? I stayed by her bedside night and day. God still caught the breath out of her body. What about those times, Pastor? What about the times when I prayed for my child to be healed? What about the time when I got the report that my daughter was born, my granddaughter was born, stillborn? What about those times when I thought I was going to keep my house, couldn't pay my mortgage for the last 5 months? They told me they were going to work it out, but I still lost my house. What about those times, Pastor? That takes me to my third point, which is dispersion. Because he says in verse number 13, all of these died without having received the promise. Look at what verse 13 says. All of these die without having received the promise. But he goes on to say that they obtained a testimony in the midst of their trials and their tribulations. But he gives us another class of folk who I need you to see in the text. And these, we don't know their names. But if you go down to verse number 32, the scripture is provocative. The scripture is challenging. The scripture is amazing. The scripture is real. He goes on to say in verse number 32, look at the text. He says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of the Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all of these folk who walked through, who through faith subdued kingdoms, who through faith worked righteousness, who through faith obtained promises, who through faith stopped the mouths of lions, who through faith quenched the violence of fire, through faith escaped the edge of the sword, who through faith out of weakness were made strong, who through faith became valiant in battle, who through faith turned the flight of the armies of the aliens around, who through faith raised to life again, who through faith found deliverance, found blessings. But there's some other folk I need you to see. He says some other folk in verse number 35 and 36. He says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They were scourged in chains and imprisoned. They were stoned and sawn into two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin. Didn't have anything to put on their bodies. They were tormented. They were destitute. They were afflicted. The world turned their backs on them. They wandered in the wilderness. They wandered in mountain caves. But the Bible says all of these obtained a good testimony. I just stopped by to say that God may take you through some ups, and God may take you through some downs. You may be destitute. You may be tormented. You may be afflicted. But all of these obtained a testimony. And I just stopped by to tell everybody up in the sanctuary, when you don't know where to turn to God. When you don't know where your help is coming from, turn to God. When you don't know how you're going to get through, turn to God. When your money is acting funny, turn to God. But let me go ahead and just take it there. When God has not answered your prayer when you want him to, I need somebody to stay right here. When God doesn't come when you want him to, and you are feeling like God abandoned you, God says, the Bible says, all of these folk whose names we know, and all of these other ones whose names we shall never know, obtained a testimony. And at the essence of their testimony was a belief in a promise that had not yet been fulfilled. That there was something better that they were holding out for. That there was something better that they were looking forward for. And even though they couldn't see it, there was something on the inside telling them there's something better. Don't give up the fight. And here's what I am in 21st century Christianity. If they, who didn't even see the promise, could hold on to God, what about me, who can look in the Bible and know that the promise has already come? What about me, who could have been told the story that Jesus came from heaven to earth to show me the way? If they can believe it, how much more can I believe it? And if they can have a testimony, I sure enough better have a testimony of what God can do. Does anybody in here have a testimony when you don't know how? God says, I am. When you don't know when, God says, I am. When you don't know how, God says, I am. And do you understand what I am means? It is similar to what the scripture writer says, that if you come to God, you must believe that he is. Listen now, his he is the same as God's I am. Let me say that one more time. In the scripture, the unknown writer says he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen, I'm diligent in seeking God. But if God doesn't bless me again, I have to stop right there. I believe that he is. And that settles the story for me. If I never get another breakthrough, I believe that he is. If I don't ever get another job, I believe that he is. If he doesn't heal my loved one's life, I believe that he is who he says he is. I believe that he is God all by himself. I believe that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I ever could imagine, ask, or think. I believe that he is a way maker and a burden bearer. I believe that he is Mary's baby. I believe that he is Rose of Sharon. I believe that he is Lily of the Valley. I believe that he is Ezekiel's wheel within the middle of a wheel. I believe. And because I believe God would never leave me nor forsake me. As I conclude, I will forever have in my mind the vision of Joe Wilson standing by his wife's bedside. I would go up late at night, sometimes midnight, sometimes 1 a.m. Sometimes I'm still up. Sometimes the Lord wakes me up and says, go to the hospital. One of the great privileges of being a clergy and pastor, that I can go at any time. And it is in those moments when the visitors have all gone and visitors' hours are over and the caregiver is there giving care, that somebody needs to care for the one given the care. I would go up. I call Joe, I text and say, "You all right, bro? Can I come up and visit with you a little while?" And he says, "Sure, Pastor, come on up." And we just sit there. We reflected on his wedding in 2007 when he and Tracy stood right here and exchanged their vows. We reflected on the fact that he worked with my father-in-law, the late Roland Pinckney, as a correction officer in the Department of Corrections. We reflected on wonderful times that made him laugh. And I knew that part of my assignment was just to help ease his mind. So I'd ask him things just to get his mind just to talk. And after a little while, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever the length of time was, I say, "Joe, let's have a word of prayer." And he says, "Sure, Pastor." And we'd gather around Tracy, just the two of us. And I'd get the oil out, and I'd anoint her head in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask God to hear our prayers. And let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I said, "God, you know our selfish prayers. We are praying that Tracy would be healed. But ultimately, God, we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And after I anointed Tracy, Joe and I would grasp hands. And we would lay our hands on Tracy and we would pray. And while I was praying, all I can hear Joe saying was, "Jesus, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, Jesus." And as I'm praying, I'm hearing this father of a 1-plus-year-old who's about to be 2 praying for his wife, "Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love you." That's all he kept saying. And as I was praying, I, at the end of my prayer, I said to myself, "I hope that if I ever was in a situation like this, that I would simply be able to lean on Jesus and call on his name." And what it told me was that Joe Wilson believed that God is, and that God is a rewarder. We prayed and we prayed And we prayed. And God answered. But it wasn't the answer that we were hoping for. But at 3:54, I got a text from Joe yesterday. He said, Pastor, Tracy passed at 3:20 today. I stepped out of the service I was in and I called him up. I said, you all right, bruh? He said, I'm all right. I said, I'm going to come up and visit with you. The snow was starting to fall. When I got to the hospital, don't you know Joe was laughing with a smile on his face and encouraging his aunt and his father-in-law and the friends that Tracy had come up to visit her. He was the one that needed to, should have been consoled, but he was the one that was consoling other folk. And I said to myself, my God, my wife just passed, but I still believe that God is. I still believe that God is on the throne. I still believe. I hugged the brother. He squeezed me and I squeezed him back. So you ask yourself the question, where is my faith? How strong is my faith? And sometimes you will never know until you're in the circumstance, in the situation where your faith is being challenged. And I pray that when that circumstance and that time comes, that you will be able to say with the writer of Hebrews, now faith is the substance of the things I'm hoping for and the evidence of the things that I don't see. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. No matter what it says, I'm going to believe that God is. And I just need someone here today who will make up in their minds that you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And no matter what the outcome is, you're still going to believe that God is on the throne. The writer says it all in the text. So I leave us with the definition of faith. That even with the designations that I see in Scripture, sometimes I feel dispersed and scattered. But even in those moments, God says, I'll take care of you. And I'll be right there with you. It's a faith thing, y'all. Keep walking by faith and not by sight. Put your hands together and give God a praise offering in this place. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, help me extend the invitation to discipleship. I don't know who's here who needed to hear that word. But I believe that whenever we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there ought to be an invitation. And if you do already believe in Jesus, but you just don't have a church home, I want you to prayerfully consider joining with us at the Shiloh Baptist Church. Maybe you just come to visit the church today. Maybe you were invited. Maybe you just looked on the internet and you found us. But if you're here and you don't have a church home, I want to offer our church to you today. Won't you come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Won't you come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? But more importantly, if you don't have that personal relationship with God through Jesus, God says you could have that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I pray that someone would come and just say, preacher, something that God used you to say convicted me, and I want to come give you my hand and give God my heart. Because if you give God your heart and give him all of you, I believe that God will continue to step into your life and do great and miraculous things. So those two invitations are extended to someone and everyone. If you're here today, I want you to come on down the aisle. Give us your hand and give God your heart. If you're here. If you're here.
He will give you brand new life.
Look at God today. Come on, brother. God bless you. Isn't that wonderful?